This is Hacker Public Radio, episode 3971, from Monday, the 23rd of October, 2023. Today's show is entitled, RERERE, How to Make Friends. It is hosted by some guy on the internet and is about 36 minutes long. It carries an explicit flag. The summary is, Scotty and Muggs chat with friends about how to make friends on the internet.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Hacker Public Radio. I'm your host, some guy on the internet, also known as Scotty. Today, I'll be speaking with a couple of friends over on Smite, and we're going to be discussing the topic, How to Make Friends, Internet Edition. Why don't you guys introduce yourselves?
My name is Chase. I've been playing games online for, 20 years. Like you said, we're in the middle of playing Smite with some friends right now.
I'm Natty. Oh, go ahead.
You go ahead, Natty. You go first. I'll go after.
I'm Natty Cakes. I, too, have been playing games online for about 20 years and made some really great friends.
I am Marcielo, and I've been gaming. I'm 49, so I've been gaming since I was about 18 years old. Don't ask me to do the math on that.
Well, it's a pleasure to have you all on the platform. And with our wonderful topic at hand, how do you make friends? So who wants to step up to the plate first and discussing what qualifies as a friend, and how do you determine that a person meets that qualification?
I'll go ahead and start. So it's funny because like it kind of changes as you get older, I think. Like when I was younger, I used to, you know, play with my friends from school, stuff like that. Well, now, you know, I'm 35 years old. I have a job. I work 60 hours a week. So I don't really have those friends anymore. I mean, I still like them, but I just never see them. So they were my gaming partners, and now it's strangers like you, and you just meet them just by playing games. And, you know, you have a good game and you want to have another good game. So you're like, let me invite this person, you know, to my friends list or something. And then it just kind of starts something, and then they bring their friends. So it's kind of a snowball, you know, or if you're in a game and people are goofing around and it's just something different and you have fun and you send them an invite, it really just kind of triggers like that for me. I don't really go out looking.
Yeah.
Anyone else?
That was pretty good. I like that.
Yeah. I agree with a lot of that. You know, usually it starts with somebody who plays really well in a game and has a sense of humor a lot of the times. And you just kind of build on that, end up gaming together, talking like we have been tonight, getting to know one each other and playing really well together. And everybody having a good team attitude is extremely important, not playing like a douche.
I don't know about you guys, but I have 3 kids. You guys have kids?
Yeah, I have 2 kids.
So like, if you take your kid to the park, right? You can make friends with the other parents.
Yeah.
But as far as like, if you don't have some type of vice or some type of way to do it, it's not like when you're a kid, you can just go.
Right.
What
just happened?
All right. So where we just left off, someone was discussing having kids at the park.
Oh, yeah, that was me. I think that was pretty much all I wanted to add, is that you need something to kind of be the mediator between you making a new friend, and games work out great.
You guys brought up some very interesting points there, some nice dynamics. What I heard that I want to, you know, dig deeper on. One, we talked about age being one of the factors. You know, when you're younger and more active, you're out and about, there's more opportunities to have friends. And as you get older, life, your priorities change. Your choices of friends may change.
Oh, yeah.
I also heard about, you know, having children and how children can be sort of like an icebreaker into engagement with others. So am I right on that?
Yeah. And I'd say with the kids, kind of, you know, things have changed in the last 20 years. And you know, most part people play games nowadays. It's just people play games. So it's weird because like my online friends have, most of my online friends are family. Like my son plays, my other son plays, my wife plays, my mother plays, you know, so it's now it's kind of transitioned to family friends. I mean, I guess online, which is kind of weird, but it just seems like that's kind of the age nowadays. You know, back in the day, you know, my dad, he ain't gonna play a game. His dad, no way. They weren't gonna play games. So, I think it's just changing over time.
That's very true.
Yeah, absolutely.
I do believe that it has changed as far as the generations, because I mean, I would think, let's say 60 years ago, how human beings used to interact, mostly built around the job, right? Like everything that you're doing is happening on the job. And then you, of course, have meetups and things outside of the job, and you just kind of roll with that. As technology started getting added to the playing field, suddenly dating transitioned from being, you know, the usual school or work as your dating pool to now online is a part of the dating pool, and the same for friendship as well. You can now expand your reach to more individuals.
Yeah.
So naturally, people just started welcoming it. And then one of the other things I want to point out, there was all the stranger danger back in the day as well, right? Like, don't talk to strangers, all of that kind of stuff that we used to kind of promote. Now, today, we talk to strangers every single day on the internet.
But to touch on that real quick, so I think you bring up a good point. So stranger danger, right? I think that it's kind of been a negative thing as well. You know, if we didn't have computers and online, kids would be out playing in their neighborhoods, riding their bikes, things like that. So I think it's kind of taken a toll on the kids. I mean, my kids are, you know, 9 and 8. One can ride a bike, kind of. The other one can't. He doesn't want to learn. They're not big into sports. Not saying every kid's like that, but it's definitely different. And then when you do events, you know, everybody's got this feeling that no place is safe, but it might just be from everybody, you know, staying home. No one goes out. No one does anything. You know, so I think there's two-sided.
So do you believe in your life, when you make friends with others and what you observe from others, do you believe that it's more dangerous to make friends today than it was, let's say, 20, 30 years ago?
I don't think it's more dangerous. I think that, I think people just don't want to go out of their way. It's easier just to get online and play a couple of games and get off and not have to deal with anything, to be honest. It's just convenient.
Yeah, that's true. I agree with that.
So what about you, Natty? Being one of the females in the conversation, I don't know if Muggs can hear us or not. What do you feel about making...
Yes, I can hear you.
Okay, so Muggs is still here. What do you feel, Natty? Is it more dangerous for you to make friends as a female, rather online or offline?
Being a woman, there's always a certain amount of risk with people online and in person. We live in a very dangerous world, and so you just gotta feel people out a little bit. You get a bad feeling, block them. Much easier to block them online than it is to block somebody in person, you know.
I'm glad you brought that up, because it does show that the online relationship does have qualities that the real life relationship does not. So in a mm-hmm. work setting or just a social setting in real life, if someone becomes obnoxious and won't leave you alone, you can't really just mute them. Whereas online, you know, you have controls at your fingertips, things you can do to, well, make your experience better.
Yeah. And it's really, you know, in person, some people just invade your space in inappropriate ways. You don't have that online. If somebody's messaging you constantly and bugging you, just block them. Delete them, you know, off your friend list. It's no big deal. But in person, you can't do those kinds of things. And in person, you don't meet.
You can send them to the abyss.
Yeah. But the other thing, though, in person, you don't meet people from halfway across the world. Like, I have an entire group of people that I game with that are in Canada. They're all French-Canadian. You know, I never would have met them in person because I've never really left the States. So that's, you got that to consider, too. That's one benefit of meeting people online.
Yeah, when I discussed this with Muggs the other day, we had a little joke. I asked her if she, you know, had to ban people, because one of the most common ones is when guys find out you're a woman, it is almost like this instant, hey, you want to go out? You know, nonstop hitting on you kind of thing.
It happens. Yeah. People cross those type of lines all the time. And a lot of times it is hard to trust people online or in person when you're a woman, because you just never know somebody's intentions.
Now, I'm going to ask the guys here about this. I mean, I kind of feel like I know the answer, but it's fair to always ask. you guys have any trouble with women nonstop hitting on you and, you know, constantly?
Oh, I can't keep them off of me. It's all day. No. Nope.
I'm a 90s guy, so things were way different back then. If I could say one thing, just to touch upon what you were talking about before, is that, you know, when you get a feel for someone, you can decide if they're compatible with you. You know, it doesn't have to be a relationship. It could be a friendship. I think having online friends and just meeting people online, that kind of skill that most of us take for granted of feeling people out, that's going to get soft because we're not getting a feel for people in the real world. Mm-hmm. I think that's a very valid point. That's going to get soft. And I think that gets worse. I mean, it doesn't have to be bad.
We're already seeing it.
I agree.
I agree with that too. Yeah. Because there are people that are just kind of shut in and don't leave their houses, don't go out, have groceries delivered, you know, and their only contact is with other people online. And that's not entirely healthy either. Yeah, it might be a little bit safer, but I really don't think that that's healthy. We're social creatures. We need to get out. We need to go and engage in activities and be around other people.
I want to challenge that thought for just a second here, just to see how interesting this topic can become. So you say that the skill of being able to, you know, feel someone out, kind of tell whether or not this is an individual you want to continue a relationship with or even build a relationship with as a friend, we may lose or have that skill diminish because we've taken our lives more online than, you know, past years. Mm-hmm. I would argue that in ways, because we're exposed to more cultures, more ways of life, it has broadened our horizons and allowed us to experience more. And that has made us benefit. We accept more now because we were exposed to more. Now that's a two-sided coin, of course. We're exposed to a lot of bad as well. But I don't believe we lost a skill. We're just applying the skill in a different area.
I can support that idea that we lose skills on behalf of the fact that as you grow in school and you see your friends and you mix with people, you learn body language, to be really good readers about body language. And you don't have any of that online. None. Mm. Only what they say is truth. What they say in the mic, you have to trust, is truth. And somebody can tell you, oh, yeah, and be crossing their eyeballs. You don't know that. Cannot see the body language. And by reading body language, it is a thing that you do get better at. You sharpen it. You know, it is a skill. And that can be lost via the net.
I'm glad you chimed in. See, this is excellent. This is a point I would have never have thought of. She brought it up. It's fantastic. And I believe she's 100% correct. There's all these little things that we don't necessarily see during the conversation.
Well, and when you're face to face, you don't, not only are you reading body language, you're also, I don't know about everybody, everybody's like this, but I'm very much reading the energy of people, you know, and just if something's off, then, you know, you feel it and, you know,
well, there is a lot to be said for eye contact.
That too. Yeah, I agree.
So you're saying that you sort of draw from the vibes of the person after giving off sort of a negative energy or a very static, harmful sort of energy, something that irritates you. You kind of pick up on that and make a determination off of that.
Yes, I do that a lot, actually.
Energy is huge.
I can agree with that.
I know not everybody's like that, but sometimes it's developed from the way you've grown up.
Do you think that skill can be applied online?
You can hear a tone.
A tone. Sometimes, like one guy I gamed with, I don't know, he was just kind of strange to me. And then come to find out later, he was arrested. They found his hard drive full of he was running a server. You know, so, I mean, it does translate to online.
It does, but it's filtered.
Agreed. Yeah. To a certain extent.
Yeah, I think I agree with both of those points.
With that situation, I'm going to bring up an infamous individual from the past, Ted Bundy.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of people met him and thought mm-hmm. that he was just your everyday average guy. In fact, I mean, he could have been a role model to many. And this is meeting him in person, talking to him, and just even after he was arrested and in jail, people who met him in jail still felt like he was a very likable guy, even after knowing what he done.
But how many times have we heard that about serial killers or, you know, people who kidnap children? Oh, it was just a nice, normal guy who lived down the street, you know, and they didn't get any bad feelings and weren't really paying attention. And that later it turns out they're serial killers, like Dahmer. Same thing. The Night Stalker. Look at how many women approached him after he was arrested and convicted. He had girlfriends. Like, you know.
Well, that is true, but you still can lose those skills that you acquire and have brushed up and sharpened over, say, 10 years. You can lose some of that when you're not out in mixing with, looking eye to eye. You still can lose some of that. But again, even if you do, because you're spending all your time on the computer and you have virtual friends, so to speak, it's real people, but they're online. If they are, they usually do not have your address, your personal information, those type things. So online does have a safety net there. The serial killer does not know where you live or know you personally.
But online friends are also different than normal friends. And what I mean is, like, if I went to school with someone for 12 years, and let's just say I didn't see him for 2 weeks, I know I'm going to see him again and talk to him and hang out. But online, you know, I might talk to Muggs every day. You know, obviously she's my mother, but if she wasn't, I might talk to her every day. And then she stops playing Smite and plays, you know, who knows, Halo, and they just vanish. Like, your friends in real life don't really tend to do that. It's like a little more of a slow phase. And online, they can just poof. It's kind of, you know, crazy.
True. But also online, you don't know if somebody you're talking to is somebody you know in your real life, just in passing. Yeah, I mean, stalkers, that kind of thing happens all the time. Somebody could be targeting you through your online gaming accounts, and you might not realize it because you're not close to that person. You've only met them maybe in the workplace or a friend of a friend or something like that, and you've given enough detail about yourself for them to find you online. And you might not realize that they're targeting you and that you know them. You've met them.
That's very true.
I'd like to introduce a couple of other elements here. One, I like to introduce the military, where we have friends and family and lots of loved ones who are here one moment, and then they're gone away for long periods of time the next moment. Yeah. And how we have to maintain that relationship with them. I'd also like to introduce long-distance relationships. Even before the internet, we used to form relationships with people and then expand that relationship across states or even countries. How do you guys feel with those bits of evidence that even though it wasn't the internet, we still managed to maintain real relationships with other individuals that we could not see every day?
Well, I think Yav touched on that when he said in real life that happens, but it's more phased.
Yeah.
It's not a cut quick, I'm gone, I'm on some other game, who knows where that person went.
Right.
I mean, like, and a lot of time it's family. Like for example, my cousin Joey went in the military for a couple of years, and I didn't talk to him every day. Like when he was back home, you know, I talked to him every now and then, but when he went in the military, I probably went 2 years without talking to him. And he lived, you know, same state, not far away. But when he came back, you know, it was like, hey, welcome back. You know, like, we knew we were going to see each other again. Same thing with friends. It's just different. It's hard to kind of explain that, but it's just different. You feel almost like you have a commitment in real life versus digital life, I guess.
One of the things though, that plays really heavily nowadays in sort of keeping up with people and keeping in contact is social media. You know, Facebook is a huge way of keeping up with people that aren't part of your everyday life. And military, a lot of times, you know, there's FaceTime or WhatsApp, or you're communicating through sending packages and things like that to them. There's so many different ways to contact people and stay in touch with people. versus, you know, back in the 90s, we didn't have cell phones. You know, we didn't have social media. A lot of people didn't even have computers and internet in the 80s and 90s. I think it's harder to lose touch.
Let me turn it around a little bit. We discuss making friends. Now let's discuss what is it that makes a person not a friend? So you meet an individual rather online or in person. What is it that an individual does that triggers your ability to say, nope, not this guy or not her?
I think the one of the weird things about online friends is it's very easy. I might play one game with you, right? I might play somebody, have a good game, and I friend you. I'm your friend all of a sudden, right? One game and I'm your friend. I played with you for 20 minutes, now I'm your buddy. And then you play with them. Yeah, right. And then you play with them for 20 more minutes. You're like, oh, wait, this guy's really a jerk. He has a bad attitude. What was I thinking?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, and now you got to, you know, weasel out of it somehow. Hey, I got to get offline, whatever. And then you block them, whatever. But it's just, it is kind of interesting how that rolls out.
Well, I can also say I lose friends on the internet because I get mad when we lose. And then I get grumpy. And I can certainly understand people don't like that, you know?
Well, it also kind of goes back to what we were talking about earlier. Like he said, you know, you play a game with somebody, you friend request them, you've known them for a few minutes, you play a couple more games, and you have voice chat now. And sometimes guys get inappropriate right off the bat. And that is one really quick way to lose a so-called friend.
Yeah, Muggs brought that one up the other day, and I jokingly made a note after she said it. I was like, note to self. Do not hit on female the moment you learn she is a woman. You know?
It happens so much, you'd be surprised. You'd be really shocked.
Oh, I can believe it. There were other points that was brought up as well. There's the, okay, now that they understand you're a female, now if you do not, let's say, play nice with me hitting you and you flirting with you, if you don't play nice about this, suddenly you're the bad guy. Right. You're this and you're that. And you know what? Let's attack her. Let's go after her. She's bad. Muggs was telling me about how she chose to have a neutral name that did not suggest sex at all. Like that name could be construed as anyone online because it just made it too difficult to have any sort of a good time when people can easily identify you as a, you know, just instantly you're a woman kind of thing, you know?
Yeah. And you know, my screen name, Natty Cakes, the only reason why, I mean, it's obviously very feminine, but it's a nickname from my gaming buddies. And that's the only reason why I use it. But no, I mean, I'm all for, you know, like a unisex screen tag, like Muggs, you know, because some men and boys can get incredibly inappropriate really fast. And I'm not saying all guys are like that on here, because you guys obviously aren't. You know, we still continue to game with you guys. You guys haven't been inappropriate or rude in any way. You guys have actually been really, really polite. But there are some out there that are the complete opposite.
Now, for the men here, I got to ask, when you come on the mic and others hear that you're a guy, do you experience any difference when they know that you're a guy? Meaning, do women treat you any differently when they hear your voice online, or do other guys approach you in a different manner when they hear your voice online?
I don't think so.
I don't think so, because it's just so common. I think most gamers are guys, so it's just another dude.
Yeah, the women, I just got to fight them off, but other than that, it's fine.
For me.
Yeah, you got to see my band, my blocked list. It's all females, like 2,000.
Can't keep
more. Yeah, Natty's privately sending you messages.
But no, there's no difference.
What's that like, you know, to just not have any kind of fear or hesitation when you're out and about or gaming online, that you don't have to put up any kind of guard?
I couldn't tell you what it's like. I mean, it's normal. You know, it's just
Well, I will say this about it, though. Even though you don't necessarily have another guy that will instantly hit on you there or a woman that would hit on you, there are other dynamics that we haven't really discussed because we don't have others here to speak for it. But I have spoken with individuals that were in same-sex relationships, and they've exposed that often in the past, mostly when they would speak about their relationships or their preferences, they would come under assault immediately from mostly guys, and it would, you know, they weren't being hit on by guys, but they were just being verbally assaulted by guys. So they got attention, just not that affectionate kind of attention. It was more assault.
Go ahead, Natty.
I was just gonna say, unfortunately, truth is a lot of guys are homophobic. You know, that's just something we live with, what we deal with, unfortunately.
I will add to that. People don't want to hear about your sexual preference, whether you are same sex or, yeah, I mean, why do we have to hear about on either way, any side?
Mm-hmm. I agree.
So one of the things that I would introduce into this situation, never mind the person's preferences, but the attacking, if there is any difference, or there's a conversation of any kind where it doesn't have to be the sexual preference. It could be a football team, for instance, or just anything. You know, you like Dodge, I like Ford, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
What's with the aggression? Because there's a difference.
Well, I'll be 100% honest. You know, I'd say in the last 8 years, I mean, I've seen, you know, people that are gay, lesbian, trans, whatever. And I've never seen them attacked, and I'm being wholeheartedly honest. I have never seen anybody attacked. I feel like, you know, maybe they feel like they're being attacked, but I personally have never witnessed that, you know, so I can't really speak to it. I mean, I honestly have never encountered it.
Well, it's like he said, you know, Ford versus Dodge, people get really aggressive and competitive and cross lines just over something as simple as that. And I don't understand it. It's like, okay, you like Ford, that person like Dodge. Who cares? You know, it's not something to get aggressive or violent or be crappy to another person over, you know, your preference. It doesn't matter.
Do you think that anonymity plays a part in it? You know, you're online, your real identity is not in jeopardy. So if you behave in a certain way, it's not going to stain your perfect reputation in real life, kind of thing.
That used to be the case. And people, you know, said, oh, that's what the internet was invented for. So you could bash people anonymously. But now we're seeing people getting revealed publicly on social media for things like that, which is a good thing, I think. I mean, if you're going to be a crappy person, you know, it should be put out there. Especially if you're attacking people.
I would ask you to explain that a little more clearly, because I don't want to read into that, but could you elaborate more on what you mean by you should be put out there?
Well, I mean, if you're anonymously attacking people online, cyberbullying, things of that nature, I think that, yeah, that maybe it should be put out there on social media. We're seeing, you know, the so-called Karens revealed and things like that. People are losing their jobs for things that they've said online, you know? And
I think it's kind of twofold too, man. Yes, okay, let's say they get attacked, but also, like, I feel like I have to walk on eggshells when I know that someone is, you know, different or has different whatever, you know, it puts pressure on me because now I'm on my tippy toes the whole time on what I'm saying and how I'm talking.
Yeah.
Well, I still say nobody has the right to advertise their sexual preference unless they're with people that they know really well and it's a close friend and you know that you can divulge your personal stuff to that person. If you don't have that connection, you are out of line bringing up your sexual preferences or even sex, really. You know, a small joke when you know the people are well enough is fine here and there, but no, I don't feel it has any business being brought up in a group of players. Nobody
and see
cares.
30 years ago, sexual preference, money, religion, politics, all of what you just said was applied to those things. you know, you don't bring them up unless you're in like company mm-hmm. or you're with people close to you. Those discussions were all kind of taboo unless you really knew the people and knew what their preferences were. And it didn't just apply to their sexual preference. It applied to whether Republican or Democrat, or, you know, if they're Christian or Catholic, or how much money they made. All of those things that used to be rude to talk about with people. And you know, their business was their business. But now it's all out there.
It's a good topic, because what he brought up, like what we're talking about, is, you know, if I've known you for, you know, say 3 days, you know, mm-hmm. maybe that's longer than some people know people on the internet. You might know someone for, like we said, 1-2 matches. So we really don't even know these people. And now we're, you know, like you said, making jokes or who knows what we're saying. And we don't know our audience at all.
Yeah. But I think also people get too easily offended over things.
Yes, I agree.
Well, it wasn't like that. You know, I'm Gen X. It wasn't like that back then. You know, if you had a problem with somebody, you just avoided them. You moved on. You didn't attack them. You didn't berate them.
There's this feeling of hypersensitivity that's been taking place. And mm-hmm. one of the issues that I want to bring up, whenever an individual felt like they've been wronged, there's kind of like this movement that has been, they call it cancel culture, if you will.
Yes.
Yeah. So it's like this need to raise an army and destroy mm-hmm. on behalf of someone else's hurt feelings.
Yeah.
I remember, well, I'm pretty sure all of us has heard about, read about, or seen movies based on events that took place a long time ago in, like, you know, somewhere out in Europe and England or whatever, where people would scrap on entire suits of metal, you know, basically a sedan worth of metal, and for the honor of their king or a fair maiden or whoever, run down the street mm-hmm. with a sword and cleave someone to death.
Yep.
How is that any different today online when, well, somebody's honor was tarnished to, you know, get the army, let's go, you know, we're on foot now, we got to go take someone out.
I would say it's a very good point, a good thought process, mm-hmm. but this isn't, you know, the 1600s, 1700s, 1800s anymore. You know, we're more civilized. You know, we're not going to get the beat brawler stick out and start going to town. You know, there's a way that we should do and don't do things. I think that's kind of, you know, where evolution has went to, and we're trying to backpedal a little bit.
Now, where it used to be, there was a lot of physical, because that's just the way they did it back then. You know, you strap on the long knives and you went to work. Today, mm-hmm. though we're not physically attacking a person, I want you to stop and think about the impact of, imagine a guy who spent his entire life building a career. He's made it to just this very wonderful place in life, and things are going great. He's able to see his kids grow up. And somebody pulled a tweet from 10 years ago, used it to crash his entire career. Now he's lost his job. He's at an age where it's not going to be easy to transition. And because everything's online is kind of like permanent, there's no place he can really go where people will not have heard of this thing that's being thrown around. And now it's not
just... We've seen it quite often.
Yeah, now it's not just recently. His life. If he's the breadwinner in the household, think about it. There's other lives attached to his that are now negatively impacted. There's college funds and things that were once figured out that may no longer happen. So
do you guys really think that happens? I mean, it would have to be a pretty bad tweet. Like, it you does. Have to find out that person was a pet, probably still is, or you'd have to find out that person actually murdered people back in the day. I mean,
but that's not what they're doing it over now, Muggs. They're doing it over so-called racist tweets and comments.
No, they
wasn't
are.
Wasn't it just but Kevin Hart that
they
just
are,
got
but
removed?
I don't think one tweet from that many years ago, you're going to lose your entire job. I think there has to be more come with it, more come out, more to the picture.
I agree it should be that way, but unfortunately, we've seen it happen recently.
Yeah, I don't think it's anything we can control. We've kind of let the government go to this. We've let society get
to
this
point. It's
the
cancel culture.
Yeah.
You know, we let them rule everything right now. You know, we've seen it happen with multiple celebrities.
So when your internet friends come to you and say, hey, there's a bad man over there, let's get him, you're not ready to strap on the sword and enough iron to look like a small sedan and run over there and cleave him?
No.
No, that's high school stuff where you all gang up or elementary or... No, I think
junior high.
Anyway, the group you have here, we all just make our own minds up.
Yeah.
People.
Always been that way.
Well, guys, I know we're all ready to get back to playing some games. And if ever in the future you guys are willing to have another conversation with me, I mean, I would love to do it. You've all been wonderful. I would like for you guys to introduce yourself once more before we exit the episode here.
All right. This was Chase again. Appreciate the opportunity. I really enjoyed the conversation and looking forward to a few more games.
This is Mugs Up, and I've been on another podcast, but very interesting conversation.
Mm-hmm. This is Nanny Cakes. Thank you for having me and to pose some really great questions and situations, stuff that I think really needs to be talked about.
This is Marcielo, and thanks for the opportunity. It's been nice chatting with you guys.
And we're out of here. Thank you guys for listening to Hacker Public Radio. Head on over to HPR anytime you like. Check out what the community has going on. And if you enjoy it, I mean, maybe you'll join us and begin uploading your own shows in the future. But until then, we're out of here. This is some guy on the internet signing off.
You have been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. Today's show was contributed by a HPR listener like yourself. If you ever thought of recording a podcast, then click on our contribute link to find out how easy it really is. Hosting for HPR has been kindly provided by anhonesthost.com, the Internet Archive, and rsync.net. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution 4.0 International License.